This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. With Election Day just over 6 weeks away, the race for the U.S. Senate here in Massachusetts has turned personal. Polls suggest Democrat Elizabeth Warren has a slight edge, and now Republican Senator Scott Brown has launched an ad that goes after the Harvard professor's character, specifically that she identifies herself as having Native American heritage.
The 30-second ad is called Who Knows, and it continues a line of attack that Brown began last week in the first debate with Warren.
Warren admitted to identifying herself as Native American to employers.
Something now genealogists have said they have zero evidence of.
Is there anything else that's going to come out about you that we don't already know?
You know, I don't think so, but who knows?
Brown's attack ad comes with some risk. It threatens his image as a nice guy. While polls have suggested that voters are uninterested in the flap over Warren's Native American heritage. To talk about this and other political news, we're joined by our political roundtable. Susan Tracy is a former Democratic state rep and current president of the Strategy Group. Welcome, Susan. Great to have you.
Thanks, Anthony. Great to be here.
And Nancy Dwight is the former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee and the current chair of Dwight Partners. Nancy, always great to see you.
Great to be here.
So let's start with that Brown ad and his decision to really look for mileage by hammering Warren on this Native American story. In last week's debate, he came out of the gate swinging with this attack. How much of a risk is he taking here? Nancy, I'll start with you.
Well, let's keep in mind, first off, it's 43 days until the election, and this race is very, very close. Brown has now turned it to what is now this time of any election season, which is what we call the contrast time, also known as the time of negativity. And clearly, he needs to raise points or raise questions about the trust, the authenticity, you know, who is Elizabeth Warren, more than what she's saying and what it is she says she'll do as a senator. Who is this person? And that's what he's doing. They're both trying to appeal to a small segment of remaining undecided voters. And that's what this part of the campaign's about.
Susan Tracy.
I think he's going negative for a few reasons. Four polls had him down. Tom Menino came out and endorsed Elizabeth Warren. Those are body blows when you are a candidate. There is no worse a feeling than to get up, see the newspaper, turn on WBUR, and here you are down. He had it four times before that debate, and I think that is the reason he came out swinging. I'd also add, it's probably the first time since he's run for Senate that he has felt like he might lose. When he was running against Martha Coakley, he had nothing to lose, and I think it showed a real confidence when he debated. And now, I think in this race, before those polls came out, I think he felt pretty good. I think he probably felt like, I'm in a good place here. So I think you're seeing the first time he's suddenly thinking, I could lose this thing. Hmm. And he's coming hard as a result.
Well, meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren's strategy is to nationalize the contest, linking Scott Brown to the agenda of Republicans in Washington and forcing him to answer questions about his voting record. Here she is recently on WTKK on the Jim and Marjorie show.
Well, we've got 250,000 people unemployed in Massachusetts like we did last fall, and he votes against three jobs bills in a row. I don't think he looks as cute. When he votes against the extension of unemployment insurance 14 times for people who are hurting, I think that's a real problem.
So, Susan, again, at the debate last week, we saw Elizabeth Warren just sort of sticking to that message, the voting record, the voting record, the voting record. What do you think? I'm sorry, I meant to say Nancy.
Oh, excuse me. Well, of course, at this stage of the campaign, that is what she's going to try to do, which is to, he is the incumbent in this race. But let us also remember, to Susan's earlier point, that this is a very decidedly Democratic state. And I don't think Scott Brown will ever feel comfortable and confident until the votes are counted. But to the point of how they're running their race, going forward, the real point is, how will each of them serve the state of Massachusetts or the Commonwealth of Massachusetts? And as much as she wants to nationalize this race, he will want to keep it as local and as neighborhood and precinct as he can, and that's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing. And Susan, what your view on this contrast? Because it is interesting. You've got one person nationalizing it, the other person trying to keep it as local and close to home as possible.
I think nationalizing the race for Elizabeth Warren is absolutely the right way to go. She has to remind people that it's not about being bipartisan. It's about who you're going to vote for to run the Senate, who they're going to put into appointments to run committees. I'd also say the other drag that Brown has on him right now is Mitt Romney. You know, the top of the ticket traditionally has coattails, and, you know, that is just not a set of coattails you want to grab onto as a person running in Massachusetts.
Well, let's talk about the top of that ticket. Let's move on to presidential politics, which continue to feature some prominent local players. Yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick and New Hampshire Republican Senator Kelly Ayotte sparred over what was arguably one of Mitt Romney's worst weeks on the campaign trail. At issue, his comments at that wealthy donor event in which he seemed to write off 47% of Americans. Here's Governor Patrick.
It's just shocking to me that a candidate could aspire to be president by turning his back on half the country.
And Patrick, of course, has been busy campaigning for the president. Here's Senator Kelly Ayotte defending Romney.
That certainly was a political analysis at a fundraiser, but it's not a governing philosophy. He absolutely has a vision for 100% of America.
So, Susan, what do you think about this Ayotte versus Patrick commentary?
You know, what I found is I felt bad for Kelly Ayotte because I think it's really hard to defend those comments, and I think you felt it from her answers. She tried to go back with the number of people who are on food stamps, talk a little bit about the jobs policy, but I think Bill Kristol, the Republican conservative columnist and commentator, said it best. Clinton did a great job at putting that to bed. This is not about the last 4 years. This is about the future, and I think Romney really hurt himself with the remarks, and I think it's hard for anyone to defend it.
Nancy, I'd love your take on this, and specifically, a bunch of ardent Romney supporters have been concerned about where his campaign is going, and I'm wondering if last week suggests that he needs to, more than anything, stay on script, no more off the cuff comments, none, zero, nothing, nada. Just stay with that script.
Well, I think what we need are the debates, and I really do. I mean, I really enjoyed watching Senator Ayotte. I'm a fan of hers. I enjoyed watching Governor Patrick. I thought the two of them were very good in presenting both sides of this. I think we looked at a future duo going at it at some elections in the future. But what we really need to do is hear more from the candidates at this point. We need to hear about President Obama's second-term agenda. We need to hear about from Mitt Romney about his first-term agenda. And we need to have them, as Peggy Noonan said in a great piece, Governor Romney needs to go big. I think they both need to go into the future and tell us, we're smart voters out here. What are we going to present to you for the next 4 years? There are a lot of issues. And I think that's what Kelly Ayotte was trying to say. What she was trying to say, I think, was that the 47% comment, which was wrong, I'm not going to try to defend it, was talking in a political strategist mode.
Sure.
That when she was making the point that the governor, if elected president, will be representing 100% of the people. But let's get to the point of the future. And the first debate is next Wednesday night. There was a Politico poll that just came out that says 83% of the voters in this country say they're going to be watching this debate or listening to this debate. That is Kennedy-Nixon staggering statistics for those of us who can remember those.
Sure.
So I think that's what this country is waiting for.
Yeah. So, Susan, time for the end of the surrogate battle and the real head-to-head. Still, I want to ask one more question about these surrogates because
sure.
Deval Patrick, Kelly Ayotte, you touched on this, Nancy, but Susan, what do you think? I mean, this idea that the next time we see these guys in a sort of prominent debate like this, they could be running for something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly interesting surrogates for their proximity to the candidates, for the geography that they represent, you have a woman and a black man. I mean, that's certainly a very different image than our country has seen
and
as
up and
spokespeople.
Rising, and up and rising
up and coming,
within,
exactly.
within their parties. Yeah.
So all very interesting. But ultimately, the messengers are great, but this is about the message. And I think the candidate that has the best message and the most authenticity and the person that the people trust the most to take us to the future is who's going to win.
Well, the debate next Wednesday, as you mentioned, Nancy, it's going to be very, very interesting coming at a pretty critical time in the campaign. Nancy Dwight, former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee and the current chair of Dwight Partners, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
And Susan Tracy, former Democratic state rep and current president of the Strategy Group. Thank you, as always.
Thanks, Anthony.
Stay with us because we all know the conventional wisdom that San Francisco is hip, cool, innovative, and Boston, old, stodgy establishment. Well, new research tries to explore if there's any truth to those stereotypes. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.